November 1988. Edward Baxter's journey home usually took around 50 minutes. Not on that evening, though. 14 miles from home, and the traffic on the motorway had barely crept above walking pace in almost an hour. He found himself behind a stationary white van, its brake lights steadfastly glowing red. The rain continued to fall heavily as the windscreen wipers on his Austin Maestro rhythmically wumped back and forth. He let out a sigh and stared down at the copy of James and the Giant Peach on the passenger seat, a present for his 7-year-old daughter. He couldn't wait to see her face when he handed it to her, and that thought raised a smile. The brake lights on the van disengaged and it slowly moved forward. He slid the gear stick into first and followed. Wary it might be yet another false dawn, he tentatively moved through the gears until the Maestro hit 30. His right foot twitched nervously, ready to dab the brakes again if the white van stopped for the umpteenth time. The procession continued to move cautiously forward. Apart from the van ahead of him, there was little else to see beyond the rain-dappled windows. A curtain of black sky hung over the hard shoulder to his left, and the equally black tyres of a lorry filled the window to his right. The speedometer displayed his speed at 40. He let himself relax a little. Hopefully the worst of the delays were behind him. His hope was short-lived. The brake lights on the van lit up, and the expanse of empty tarmac in his windscreen quickly shrunk to barely 30 yards. He pressed his foot down on the brake pedal. "Not again," he groaned. For 10 minutes, his right foot switched between the accelerator and the brake pedal. With no opportunity to move beyond first gear, his left hand remained redundant. Mild agitation moved towards sheer frustration. He just wanted to get home. The Maestro crawled forward for a long minute until the van stopped again. He cursed under his breath and gazed off to his left, hoping for a change in the vista. He spotted the edge of a blue sign with 3 diagonal stripes, 300 yards to the next motorway exit. It wasn't the exit he usually took, but it had to be better than another 6 miles of congestion. He checked his left mirror and swung the car onto the hard shoulder. He knew it was only supposed to be used in emergencies, but he doubted a 300-yard dash to the exit would land him in trouble. Seconds later, the Maestro sped down the exit ramp, away from the motorway and away from the queue of stationary traffic. He was free at last. At least, he thought he was. The rush hour traffic was almost as slow as that on the motorway. Thankfully, he knew a shortcut. He navigated 2 roundabouts before a torturous crawl along a 2-mile stretch of dual carriageway. He took a left turn onto a quiet lane which meandered across the countryside. It would take him to within a mile of his home. Very few people knew of the shortcut, and for that he was grateful. Keen to make up for lost time, he pushed the Maestro up to 40. The headlights provided a tunnel of light in the darkness, illuminating the hedgerows which bordered the ribbon of greasy tarmac. A sharp left-hand bend crept up on him. He dabbed the brake pedal and the book on the passenger seat slid forward, disappearing into the darkness of the footwell. It pulled his attention for barely a second, but sufficient time for the car to enter the bend. As he returned his eyes to the road, his heart dropped to his stomach. He buried the brake pedal into the floor and the front wheels locked. The Maestro slid across the rain-slicked tarmac, the steering wheel of no use to him. If he'd hit the brakes a split second earlier, the point of impact would have been different. The finest of margins. But he didn't. The Maestro launched from a low berm on the outer edge of the lane. All 4 tyres lost contact with the road, and the residue momentum propelled the car towards a 5-bar gate. That gate had only been replaced 2 weeks before, its wooden predecessor finally losing the battle with rot. The replacement was unforgiving. Metal struck metal as the steel gate and the body of the Maestro became entwined. A steel cross-section snapped away and the jagged end pierced the car's windscreen. Silence. He could feel the wetness, the warmth. He could see the length of steel tubing embedded in his chest. just below his collarbone. If it had been on the left rather than the right, he knew he'd already be dead. As he could barely catch a breath, it was a scant consolation. He knew his time was short, but he wasn't scared of what awaited him. He was scared of what awaited his wife and his young daughter. Husband, daddy, neither home tonight, neither home ever again. His breath was almost spent, and his life expectancy could only be measured in seconds. He smelt earth and petrol. A flicker of yellow light reflected in the rear-view mirror. Fire, he thought. His eyelids flickered and his chest stopped moving. The final seconds. As he prepared to leave, he felt a presence. Help, maybe? Too late, he thought. A voice whispered, although he couldn't be sure if it was just his imagination, a cruel trick played by an air-starved brain.
We will watch over her.
It was the last sound he heard. The final question his mind would ever pose. Who are you? He died without an answer. The maestro and its occupant were reduced to skeletons by the ensuing fire. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.